The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Bleeding Green Nation, and welcome back to another edition of Eye on the Enemy, powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm your host, John Stolness. You can follow me on Twitter, at John Stolness. And coming up, we're going to preview this weekend's Eagles-Saints game and take a deep dive into the New Orleans Saints, a very interesting football team. But the Eagles might be catching them at just the right time. We're going to get into the injury report, which very much heavily favors the Eagles. Saints will be missing some key players this weekend, and we'll talk about some of the key matchups coming up here in the next few minutes of Eye on the Enemy as we take a deep dive into what the New Orleans Saints are looking like here as they get ready for Week 11 of this NFL season. And it has been an interesting journey for the New Orleans Saints so far. They have beaten some good teams this year, and they have looked very good at times this year. They've also lost to some pretty rotten teams this year, and they are carrying a two-game losing streak coming into this game where they come into Philadelphia. Last week, they lost to the Tennessee Titans in a heartbreaker, 23-21. They had a chance to tie the game with under 2 minutes left, but if they were able to convert a two-point conversion, they came back. They were down big early in that game against the Titans. In fact, what was it? They were down in the first quarter. They were down 23-12 with 10:01 left in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, they were down by 11 points with 10 minutes to go. But they scored a touchdown to bring them to within 2 points late in the game. We're set for a 2-point conversion, but because of a false start penalty, they had to move back from the 2-yard line to the 7-yard line. And obviously that makes a 2-point conversion much more difficult. You do have a little bit more room to throw the ball in that particular situation, but you essentially take away the run at that point. And Trevor Siemian, who is now the Saints starting quarterback, just missed running back Mark Ingram on a connection for the conversion. And so the New Orleans Saints fell 2 points short of tying Tennessee late in that game and pulling off the upset. So the Saints have beaten some good teams. They beat Green Bay opening week 38-3. Obviously, that was a game in which the Packers were not ready to start the season, and you had Jameis Winston as the starting quarterback for that team at that point, and they rolled up on the Green Bay Packers in a surprise to everybody. And then they went out in week two and lost to the Panthers in Carolina 26-7. They then went into New England and beat what has become a very good New England Patriots team 28-13. They lost to the New York Giants, a terrible football team, in overtime at home 27-21 in week four. Then they went into Washington and beat the football team 33-22, had their bye week, went into Seattle and beat the Seahawks 13-10. And I know the Seahawks are not what they usually are, but Seattle at that point was still relatively in contention, and then moved to 5-2 on the season, a 3-game winning streak, by beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home 36-27. And then the next week they lose to Atlanta at home 27-25, and then to the Titans in Tennessee last week 23-21. So this team is a roller coaster. They are all over the place, and they are dealing with a ton of injuries as they come into this game here on Sunday. And of course the big loss for New Orleans right now, they have two big losses, actually. A couple weeks ago in that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they lost Jameis Winston for the season with a torn ACL and MCL. So that obviously has knocked him out for the rest of the season. And Trevor Siemian is now your starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. And while I am not a big Jameis Winston fan, Winston's upside is certainly better than Trevor Siemian's upside, and Winston had been playing relatively well this year. Had a 102.8 passer rating on the season, 14 touchdowns against just 3 interceptions for Jameis Winston this season. You have to remember, Winston's still just 27 years old. It feels like he should be in his 30s, but he's not. He's 27. Siemian is in his 30s. He's a 30-year-old quarterback. The Saints have lost both of the games that he has started so far this year, and the Saints also will be without Taysom Hill, or it looks like he's questionable as far as playing this week, and Taysom Hill is not much of a threat to throw the football. He's only thrown 8 passes this year, completed 7 of them. That's a healthy 87.5% completion percentage, but this is not obviously a threat to pass the football, but Taysom Hill is a nice dual running throwing option. He's kind of we all remember him from that playoff game a couple of years ago in 2018 when the Eagles lost in the divisional round following the 2018 season. So it's Trevor Siemian's show now at quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. The other big injuries that the Saints are dealing with right now is Alvin Kamara. They're all stud running back. Will not play on Sunday. He has 530 yards on the ground, 310 yards in the air. He is obviously one of the most dynamic players in the NFL. He will not be playing on Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. So that is a huge positive for the Birds, and they will instead be facing Mark Ingram as the starting running back. Mark Ingram coming back to the Saints, just signed a couple of weeks ago, and they ran him a lot. I think he had his most offensive snaps since 2015 in last week's game against the Titans. He had 108 total yards from scrimmage, had a 13-yard rushing touchdown, became the franchise's all-time rushing leader with that performance, and so they are happy to have Mark Ingram back, no doubt about it, but Alvin Kamara, he is not. So let's just kind of frame this up here. I'll get one of the other injuries that the Saints have to worry about are their two starting tackles. Ryan Ramczyk is out and Teron Armstead is out. Those are two huge losses for the Saints. So that's going to affect their running game. That's going to affect their ability to protect Trevor Siemian. And, you know, Siemian has not put up great numbers. 57.7% completion percentage, a 94.5 passer rating. He has 5 touchdowns, hasn't thrown an interception, so he's protected the football. But obviously, the Saints' offense is nowhere near as dynamic with Trevor Siemian at quarterback and Alvin Kamara out of the lineup, and also the Saints missing their two starting tackles, Ramczyk and Armstead. So big losses for New Orleans. They come in depleted. They come in shorthanded. And that's what worries you. I think you feel good about that as an Eagles fan, but you also see this as a Saints team that wins games they shouldn't win and loses games they should lose. That's been their pattern this year. And so that makes you a little nervous as they come into Philadelphia all banged up, riding a 2-game losing streak. It feels like the perfect recipe for the Saints to come in and pull off the upset. And the Saints are 2.5-point road underdogs, which is what you would expect. The Eagles are 2.5-point favorites as the home team. The Eagles coming off an impressive 30-13 win over the Broncos in Denver. And let's talk about the playoff implications right now, because I think this is the most important game of the year for the Eagles, certainly to this point. But if you look at how much, when you're looking at the playoff seeding right now, the Saints are obviously in front of the Eagles in the playoff race. The Saints are in a position to make the postseason at this point. And so they are currently the number 6 seed, just ahead of the Carolina Panthers. And of course, you have the Eagles at number 10 right now. The Eagles are behind the 49ers and the Vikings, who are both just in front of, they're half a game behind the Vikings and 49ers. Both the Vikings and 49ers still on the outside looking in. The Panthers hold down that fifth spot, so the Eagles one full game behind the Panthers and a game and a half behind the Saints. The Eagles still have not had their bye week, so that's why they have one extra game on their schedule still. Nevertheless, this is a huge game as far as playoff implications are concerned, because the Eagles already have beaten the Carolina Panthers, and they've already beaten a team that's just behind them, but essentially tied in standings at 4-6, but the Eagles hold the tiebreaker over the Falcons and over the Panthers because they have beaten those teams this year. The 49ers hold an advantage over them because the Eagles lost to the Niners back in Week 2, as we'll all remember. But at the moment, the Saints are ahead of the Eagles in the standings, and this would, depending on if the Eagles can win this game, they would then have the tiebreaker over the Saints as well. Following the Eagles' 30-13 win over the Broncos in Denver last week, 538 gave the Eagles a 26% chance of reaching the playoffs. So here's the scenario on Sunday. If the Eagles pick up a win over New Orleans on Sunday, those playoff odds shoot up to 40%. And then, let's just say, you know, you beat the Saints. Let's say they go into the Meadowlands and beat two terrible teams, the Giants and the Jets, over the next couple of weeks. The Birds' playoff chances would leap to 67%. And at that point, you're looking at an Eagles team that's 7-6 on the season, so I guess the record would kind of match that. Now, if the Eagles were to lose to the Saints this weekend, their playoff odds would go down to 10%. So if they win, it's 40%. If they lose, it's 10%. That's a 30% change in playoff odds, which is a huge number. That tells you all you need to know about how important this game is. If the Eagles beat New Orleans, they have legitimate playoff aspirations. If they don't, you're starting to think draft again. You're starting to start, you're dropping to 4-7 on the season. And all of a sudden now, instead of maybe thinking about the postseason, maybe giving it a shot, now even despite the schedule full of bad teams, your playoff odds go down. You just have too much work to do. You have too many teams in front of you. Even if the bottom of the NFC, or the middle of the NFC, I guess, is kind of flawed, it's just too much work. So as we look at this Eagles-Saints series, these guys play each other quite a bit. The Eagles lead the regular season series 17-12. The Saints, of course, hold a 3-1 edge in the playoffs. The Saints are 3-10 in games played in Philadelphia in the regular season, but of course 1-0 in the playoffs. We remember the Nick Foles game. 14 of the games between these two teams have been decided by 3 points or less. The last time these two teams played was, of course, last year at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles won 24-21. That was Hurts' first game as a starter. The Eagles were up 21-7 at halftime in that game, but the Saints made it close. But they got to within an onside kick. They got to within 3 points with 1:24 remaining in the game. But the Birds recovered the onside kick and ended up holding on to that for that 3-point victory. The Eagles scored midway through the fourth quarter on a 1-yard rushing touchdown by Miles Sanders that really helped the Eagles get set up for that game. And so the Eagles won 24-21 last year. So let's go over some of the key matchups for this one. We have seen the Eagles commit to running the football over these last few weeks, and it has been a welcome change. And Miles Sanders will be back for this game. And I don't know if he's totally healthy, and they might choose to ease him in to the workload, and that would probably be the smart thing to do. You don't need to give Miles Sanders all of the carries here in his first week back. But there's been a narrative going around that when Miles Sanders comes back, you basically don't play him very much. You continue to feed Boston Scott and Jordan Howard the football, which, have we seen Miles Sanders play? I mean, Miles Sanders is not some scrub back there. He's a good running back. It's not his fault that Nick Sirianni wasn't giving him the ball this season. If Miles Sanders is back, he's your running back. And you continue to use Jordan Howard and Boston Scott as changes of pace. Absolutely, use all three. But this idea that Miles Sanders somehow falls behind Boston Scott and Jordan Howard on the depth chart or something, that's been some of the conversation this week, and that doesn't make any sense to me at all. Now, that being said, I don't think you're going to see the Eagles run the ball a ton this week. And I think that's probably a wise course of action. The Saints have the number one rush defense in the NFL. So I think it's good that the Eagles are finally starting to form an identity. This has been an offense without an identity for the last 2 years. And maybe now you're starting to see that because the Eagles have a good run-blocking offensive line. They have a healthy run-blocking offensive line at this point. And they have a stable of running backs who can get the job done. We've seen them churn up yards against some not-so-great defenses over these last few weeks. Well, now you've got the number one rush defense in the NFL. So despite the fact that the Eagles have run for 632 yards and 6 touchdowns on 5.1 yards per carry over the last 3 games, the Saints are allowing just 3.1 yards per carry. The next best team, the next closest team to them, are the Buccaneers at 3.7. You have players across the Saints defense in Cameron Jordan, Shy Tuttle on the defensive line who can stop up the run game. DeMario Davis at linebacker is a stud. And then you've got Malcolm Jenkins, our old friend Malcolm Jenkins, coming back to Philadelphia. Still an excellent run defender. So I think you're going to see Nick Sirianni go back to the passing game this week. I think Devontae Smith has obviously been a revelation these last couple of weeks. He's had star performances these last couple of weeks, and maybe you're starting to see a connection grow between him and Jalen Hurts. Would still like to see him get a few more targets. He's only getting 6 to 7 targets a game. You'd like to see that number closer to 9 to 10, but at the end of the day, Devontae Smith is doing enough, doing a lot, and is moving up the Offensive Rookie of the Year contender list with each and every passing week. I think the matchup with him and Marcus Lattimore will be a good one. Lattimore, of course, we remember, tortured the Eagles with 2 interceptions in that 2018 divisional round playoff game. He's not the player he was a couple of years ago. He's not the shutdown cornerback, and I think that's a matchup that on paper looks like it could be a marquee matchup, but on the field, Devontae Smith should be able to get the better of Marcus Lattimore, and I think you're going to have to. I think this team is not going to be able to earn their money running the football. It's strength versus strength, so it certainly could be that at the start of the game, you see the Eagles continue to try to run the football, and they should certainly not get away from having some semblance of balance. You have to do that. It can't be 80%, 90% passing the football. But I think you're going to have to get away from the run a little bit in this one. When they do run the football, Miles Sanders needs to probably get most of the carries. He's that good. And the whole narrative that he's going to play behind Boston Scott and Jordan Howard, come on. We're way too wrapped up in the most recent results. Those guys are good. They've played well. But Miles Sanders is by far the best running back on the team, the most dynamic running back on the team. And yes, he dances in the backfield a little bit too much, but he's also a pretty good between the tackles runner. He's really turned into a good between the tackles runner. And so Miles Sanders has to be your lead back. But that's going to be the big matchup. How much will the Eagles be able to run the football? How effective will they be against a Saints rush defense that is the best in the NFL? So Mark Ingram against Jonathan Gannon's defense is going to be another key matchup here. Again, it's not going to be Alvin Kamara. How much will Mark Ingram be able to give the Saints? Again, he had more offensive snaps since 2015 last week. He's a guy who wants to be fed the football, but he's an older player, and it would be interesting to see how much run he's going to get. I think the Eagles' defense, the Eagles' run defense, has been getting better. I think we're starting to see the Eagles linebackers get a little bit better. I like TJ Edwards as a player. He's always seems to be in the right place and making sure tackles. But the rest of the linebacking core is still a major question mark. Alex Singleton, Davion Taylor still have a lot of holes in their game, although Taylor looked pretty good last week, forcing a couple of fumbles. The Saints come into this game as an excellent running team. They have the 4th most rushing yards of any team this year. But the Eagles are 12th best in yards per game against the run. So I think that if you're looking at these two teams, their strengths are running the football, and the Eagles, if they have a strength on defense, it's stopping the run. The Eagles' passing defense leaves a lot to be desired. But again, Trevor Siemian, while he hasn't thrown any interceptions, is also not a guy who's going to, you're not going to ride his arm to victory. And you look at the wide receiving core, these are not loaded with big names. Deontay Harris is starting to come into his own a little bit. 407 yards receiving on 24 catches. But Marquez Callaway and Tre'Quan Smith are not producing at an elite level. Again, you don't have Kamara. Their top tight end is Adam Trautman, who has 20 catches for 183 yards. So this is a situation where the Eagles should be able to, again, we saw Jonathan Gannon blitz more last week. We saw him play more press defense. That should continue. There's no reason to be afraid of Trevor Siemian and the deep ball. Tre'Quan Smith, we'll remember a couple of years ago, also in that playoff game, Smith burned the Eagles deep. And you have to keep an eye on that. But this is not a team that has consistently beaten teams in the passing game. And so this is a situation where Jonathan Gannon should be blitzing, should be playing press defense, force Trevor Siemian to beat you, right? Force him to make plays. Don't give him all of the dink and dunk stuff. Get in their faces. This is a Saints passing defense that can be intimidated, that can be pushed around. I think the Saints are going to struggle to score this week on the Eagles defense. I don't love the Birds defense, but I think this is a week when the Saints don't have their starting tackles, they're going to struggle to open holes, and they're going to struggle to be able to stop Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargraves. Hargraves has kind of had a couple down weeks since getting off to a red hot start. This is a get well game for both of the Eagles defensive tackles. And as a result, you could see a benefit to Josh Sweat if the Eagles are able to get that interior pressure. Maybe you get another sack from Derek Barnett this week. The Eagles' defensive line against the Saints' offensive line, with the Saints' starting tackles out, that's the other key matchup to watch here. Losing their tackles is a huge loss for the Saints. It might be a bigger loss than losing Alvin Kamara, because you do still have Mark Ingram there, and then that's saying something. But when you lose your starting left tackles, it's asking a lot, and the Saints are going to put a rookie sixth rounder in at one of those tackle spots. That's tough duty against an Eagles defensive line that has been up and down this year, but I still think you need to bring the blitz. I don't think you can rely on the Eagles front four to get the job done. You're going to have to bring an extra rusher a lot of the afternoon, but this is a Saints offense that can be bottled up. This is not a Saints offense that should scare you without their tackles, without Jameis Winston, and without Alvin Kamara. So, you know, as we're looking ahead to this game, I'll give you my prediction. I think this is another game the Eagles should win. You're the home team. The Eagles are 0-4 at home this year. If you're looking for, they have to win a home game at some point, right? And you would look at this Saints team, despite the fact that they are 5-4, that they are a potential playoff team at the moment, that this is a flawed Saints team. And Sean Payton's a good coach, but this is a flawed Saints team that I think this, and it's because they've been so banged up, they've had different players in and out of the lineup. You still don't know exactly. This is a very different team from the one that started week one. And so I don't believe in a team. I think if you're looking at the quarterback matchup, you've got to like Jalen Hurts over Trevor Siemian. And I think you like the direction the Eagles are going. You like the fact that they've found an identity. Jalen Hurts is playing much better right now, despite the fact the Saints have a good defense. This should be a low-scoring game. I do think the Eagles have a better shot at scoring on the Saints' defense than the Saints' offense has against scoring on the Eagles' defense. So I see the Eagles coming up mostly with a pass-heavy attack in this one. I see the Eagles coming out on top in this one 21-18, a game that could be ugly at times. I don't think this is going to be a very pretty football game, but the Birds will do enough on offense to pull away late and to win this one 21-18. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of Eye on the Enemy. Don't forget to check out bleedinggreennation.com each and every day for all of the latest news, rumors, stats, everything else you need for this game. And check out all of our fine podcasts at the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed. Go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts, and sign up for the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time here on Eye on the Enemy.
BGN.